We're going to talk a little, and this is one of the songs, by the way, which will be, I'm sure, there'll be a rousing rendition, even though there's only going to be about 1,000 fans, maybe, perhaps, in the stadium tomorrow night. This is what they'll be singing. Yes, indeed. That's probably one of the most famous recent year's renditions of Aran Naveen. That was before Croke Park being belted out by the fans and the players of the Irish rugby team as they took on England when Croke Park was opened up for the first time to outside sports. And it was a huge rendition and a huge moment as well. Well, one Kerry County councillor wants the council to write to the Department of Education, the Minister of Education, to make it a requirement that all schools, all primary schools in particular, would have the teaching and learning of Aran Naveen on their curriculum. Robert Brosnan of Sinn Féin is that councillor, and I spoke to him and first of all asked him why he wanted this put in place.
Yeah, a positive response as it passed through. We had a bit of debate about it, and it's always good to have debate. I suppose politics is all about debating and compromising, and that's the art of it. And democracy is thankfully what we live in, and we took on suggestions and things like that, so we amended it slightly. As you read it out, that's how it's passed through, but originally it had the word mandatory, and I suppose we have, I suppose, a lot of negative connotations in regard to mandatory. I suppose through our education system way back from, say, when the English were subjugated our culture and our language, and there was terrible pieces of equipment used to punish and to humiliate students that would speak Irish or were heard to speak Irish. There was, I think it was described once by Pierce as the murder machine. Rather than the implements they use, but like the Botha score, for example, was like hung around somebody's neck and there was marks put on it. It really humiliated children if they were talking Irish and they had to walk around with this. And there was even something more humiliating in Pearshluck was the name of it. It was like a piece of a stick, like a bit that a horse would have in their mouth, and it would be tied onto a child's ears if they were heard speaking Irish. But unfortunately, we went to the other extreme when we got our independence in the state. The Irish was forced down people's throats as well. And I suppose a lot of people rebelled against the language then, and it turned people away from our language, unfortunately. And that's not the way to do it. And, you know, when we discussed it, Fionnán Fitzgerald, another councillor inside, was discussing the word mandatory around it, and I took it on board and was agreeable to extract that word mandatory out of it. But it hasn't lost its essence. You know, it's kept its integrity, its essence, and its sentiment. And requirement is a binding word, and I suppose in a euphemistic way, we achieved the same outcome. That we will write to the minister asking that it be put on the curriculum as a requirement.
Why do you think it needs to be put on the curriculum, Robert, as a requirement?
Well, I suppose it's part of who we are. I suppose I suppose we have to recognise. I suppose Thomas Davis once said that one who does not know the history of one's people shall always remain a child, and it's more than a song for us, I suppose. It's it evokes a lot of emotion and memories, special memories. I suppose one of my first memories was being held in my father's arms, listening to the national anthem. And I suppose it was the first time I ever seen grown people cry with tears in their eyes. And I was, you know, it was astonishing the emotion that's involved in our national anthem. And you can see players on the field get very emotive about hearing it, because I suppose we we think about where we come from and how the independence we have today was won, I suppose human nature in times of existential crisis is to fly, freeze, or stand and fight. And some people will stand and fight, and we have to respect those people, because without them, we wouldn't have any sort of independence here. You know, they've sacrificed so much of themselves, and a lot of them paid the ultimate sacrifice, like Bob McCarthy. 103 years ago, he gave his life for Irish independence. It's his anniversary today, a West Kerry man, a great West Kerry man. But I think of Martin McGuinness. I think of living patriots in Martin Ferris. I you know, I would regard Martin as an out-and-out Irish patriot. I would regard anyone, you know, the likes of Padraig Kearney, the man who originally wrote the song Lee Morin, the man who, I suppose, translated it, and it's how we best know it today through the Irish language.
That's all part of it, Robert. Yeah, it's all part of it. But the way it stands at the moment, and I wonder, was it all a question last year in relation to this, to the Minister for Education, about why it isn't taught and should it not be taught on the curriculum? And her answer was effectively, Aran Nevine isn't mandatory at the moment. It isn't required teaching. It's left up to individual teachers. But there are a number of modules on the primary and post-primary curriculum that does allow for its teaching. There are different strands of, you know, eras of change, conflict of politics, conflict in society, which form part of the curriculum for senior classes of primary schools that can be taught there. At post-primary level, the junior cycle history specification enables the study of the anthem through learning outcome 24. That examines the relationship between politics and culture, and also the history between 1912 and 1923, the decade of centenaries we've just gone through in relation to that. So is it your fear that it's not being taught in every school? Because I'd imagine a lot of people have an idea that it probably is it sporadically taught? Are students leaving primary school or even post-primary not knowing the full words of it? Is that your concern?
Well, I suppose nowadays it is in a lot of schools, in fairness, but it's not officially recognised as part of the curriculum, and that's where we need to get to. I know, like Lee Strand, to give him a plug, in fairness, they're very good to the national schools, and it's part of the little diary they give out to the schools, but there's more to it than just seeing the words, the explanation. I suppose the best way to learn a language is to sing it, and old Irish songs, and it's and to talk about it, but not to like put somebody on the spot and, you know, ask them to recite it. It's more of to bring people along together in a group setting that they would sing it in special occasions, and it's you know, just part of the curriculum without forcing it. Like, when I went to school nearly 40 years ago, like Shelley, Keats, Shakespeare and Wordsworth were on the curriculum, and it was just a hurdle. Like, if we could, we had no, I suppose, direct connections to any sort of that type of literature, why we would appreciate the prose and the poetry, etc., and the art involved and all of that. I suppose the linkage for us was very tenuous as Irish people, but that was part of our curriculum. So I don't see why we can't put in 11 lines. It's only the chorus, like, that we sing usually. And look, I'm an unapologetic Republican, but I totally respect the right of people to choose as well. But if it's part of the curriculum, the tendency will be that teachers all over we'll talk about it, sing it, and practice it.
And get that done. Let me put this point to you finally briefly, because we're short on time, Robert, but notwithstanding, this will probably open up to an entirely new debate. if you were to make it a requirement in Irish schools, would that not have to be changed if we ever became a united Ireland and we took in pupils from the other tradition, particularly in the north of Ireland, in terms of their tradition, their anthems and all of that? Would that not all be up for debate again if we made it a requirement?
Yeah, look, I suppose we've made concessions in Ireland's call, and I'd see no problem with singing two songs if two songs are to be sung, but we have to respect, like, I don't see why there should be a big problem with Ó Rann na Mhíne for anyone, because it's a declaration of love for one's land and
sure,
for one's people,
but
and
not,
it's a commitment.
Not if it was United Ireland, there would have to be a different conversation, but I suppose that, look, that's for another day. It's a fair point. You're writing to the minister, and we'll look for a response on that, and we'll see what comes back. But Robert, thanks for giving us your view on it this morning.
Yeah, we have Kerry connections to it as well. Like Padraig Kearney is buried in Glasnevin with Tomás Áthas, and we have a South Kerry connection as well, because a lot of the volunteers were sent to Francook in Wales, and that became a University of Revolution. And one of the first Irish drafts that was written by Liam O'Rinn was actually brought home by John Francis Morgan O'Shea to South Kerry, to Port Magee, in fact. And I know it wasn't adopted officially until 1923. Actually, the anniversary of when it was recognised fully, it was the 12th of July 1926, ironically. So the 12th of July this year, it was officially recognised as our anthem.
Okay, there you go. That's Robert Prosser. His view on what needs to be done.